Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys all doing today? It is December 2nd, so 23 days until the big day, right? So here we go. Gifts, lights, whole thing all over again. Just seems like a year ago we were doing this. But we're going to start to get into the Christmas season a little bit today, and you know, we had a Christmas song to start, so gonna end our sermon or service also with a sermon that deals with one of the main characters of the Christmas story. Do you know what these men have in common up here besides all being famous? All movies. Okay, if you get this, that's pretty impressive. Maybe, I don't know if Scott Hamilton was ever in a movie. He's an ice skater. I don't know if he was ever in a movie. But these guys are all adoptive fathers. All of these men, somewhere in their life, had adopted a child or one or two. And I've lost track of how many Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie adopted, but they adopted a lot. And to be an adoptive parent, that's really a great thing to be. Because you're usually getting a child that you're going to give a chance for a better life. You know, a lot of times the mothers can't take care of them. They've been taken away from their parents for some reason. They're in the foster system. Maybe their parents are not alive anymore. So you really have a chance to give a child a good life. And also, there is a risk because you never sort of know how it's going to go. You know, you never know, you know, once the child finds out they're adopted, how are they going to respond to that? How are they going to go and maybe reject you and start to look for their biological parent? Or you never really know what's going to happen. And in today's world, step-parents and step-children are also very prominent. And for the step-parent and the step-child, you don't know how that's going to go either. You know, sometimes it goes really well and the stepchild and the stepparent get along really well. Other times the parent doesn't see the child as maybe their own and the child doesn't necessarily see the parent as their own. So it's sort of a tough situation when you're living with a child that might not be your own. And that's what we're going to talk about today. One of the characters from the Christmas story who, as you probably guessed, is Joseph, who had the task of raising a child that really wasn't his own. Now, if you think about Joseph, you know, he was welcoming a lady into his house who was pregnant by some other means than his own. And that was a challenge for him. He was facing a dilemma about how he was going to handle that situation. And that's what we're going to look at today, how Joseph handled the situation of being the father of a child who was not his own. Joseph, what we do know about him, his father was Jacob. He was from the royal line of David. He lived in Nazareth, which is about 90 miles or 95 miles from Bethlehem. We know he was a carpenter. We know that he did not have a lot of money because at the time of presenting Jesus, he only had two turtle doves. He didn't have like a goat or a sheep that he could take. He was religious, and he was probably around 17, 18 years old. And we also know that he was not mentioned very much in the Bible. In fact, if you read the Bible, the Christmas story is only mentioned in two Gospels. It's not mentioned very much, and actually Mary is not mentioned that much in the Bible. So we're introduced to Joseph in Matthew 1:18. And if you read the two Gospels that have the Christmas story, it's Matthew and Luke. Matthew is written from Joseph's perspective, and Luke is written from Mary's perspective. So it's sort of neat to see the two and compare how they're written. But this is how we're introduced to Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Now, to be pledged meant basically you were already married, but you weren't going to live together. and it lasted a year, and it was just to see if you really wanted to be married. And there was no physical relations, it was just you were separated. You were married, but you were separated. And really, the only way you could get out of that was through a divorce. So can you imagine Mary and Joseph? They're pledged to be married. They've committed to each other. They have their thoughts of raising a family together. Joseph, you're going to be a carpenter. You're going to bring in and support our family. Mary's thinking, I'll stay at home, raise the kids, cook, and all that stuff. So they had the plans for their life already going on in their heads. And they couldn't wait for that year to be up when they could have the official marriage ceremony and then start their lives together. Then came some news for Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine Joseph's reaction when Mary told him, I'm pregnant? And Joseph knew it wasn't his at all. Could you imagine that? How about if you got that news as a man, that you found out your girlfriend, your fiance was pregnant and it wasn't yours? I'm sure he was angry. Sure he was disappointed because they had all these plans and what was going to happen with them. He was embarrassed, maybe for himself, because what kind of lady was I going to marry here? And what is the town going to think of all this? And maybe he was confused. I thought Mary loved me. And now she's pregnant and the child is not mine. As Christians, how do we react when our plans get messed up? Mary and Joseph, I'm sure, had plans for what they were going to do after they were married. And now, all of a sudden, those plans have changed. Going back to John's sermon last week about controlling our emotions. When our plans get messed up, how do we react? Do we pout? Do we yell? Do we go with it? Do we make adjustments? How do we react when our plans don't go the way we thought they were going to? Joseph had a decision to make, and this was his decision. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, Joseph, he had every right in this case. He could have humiliated Mary in front of everyone. He could have made a public spectacle of her. He had, by law, he had that right to do that. But his decision told us a couple things about Joseph. He told us he really loved Mary. He did not want to humiliate her anymore. He loved her, and although he was disappointed and maybe angry, he didn't want to humiliate her anymore. And I also think that he knew what awaited her. Here is an unwed mother going to be pregnant back in those days. In these days, it's more accepted. But back in those days, she was going to be ridiculed. She was going to be the talk of the town. According to Jewish law, she might have even been killed for committing adultery. And Joseph knew what awaited her. And he couldn't do any more damage to her. So as a Christian, when we have the chance to humiliate someone, do we resist that temptation? Do we pile on when someone's the butt of the joke and everyone's piling on them and complaining about them at work? Do we step back or do we pile on? When we have a chance to, ridicule someone, do we resist that temptation? And maybe do we try to get the people to quit piling on? hopefully we don't join in. It is so easy to do because we all like making ourselves look better, and usually we do that by making someone look worse. But do we resist that temptation of piling on? And Joseph, he had a calming dream. So he went home, didn't rush into anything, sort of slept on it. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Now, Joseph, very religious guy, for some reason, this dream calmed him down. For some reason, God speaking to him in this dream calmed down his fears, made him feel better about this situation, especially when God said to him, "Do not be afraid to take Mary into your home." Something in that dream changed his mind. Would we have been calmed by this dream, do you think? Whenever we hear God speak to us, does that calm us at all? And Joseph, by accepting what God said in that dream, Joseph knew his life was going to get a lot tougher. He knew if he accepted Mary into his home, his life was going to get tough, because not only was she going to be the ridicule, he could be getting ridiculed. He didn't know how his family was going to react. He didn't know how the community was going to react. But he did the right thing. As Christians, when we know it's going to be tough to do the right thing, do we choose to do it anyway? When we know the right thing might get us scorn or ridicule, do we do the right thing anyway? And there was more to the dream. "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Can you imagine? You know, we have a couple pregnant ladies in our congregation. Can you imagine, Ashley, if God said to you, "Your child is going to cure cancer, all cancers. Your child is going to come up with the cure for cancer." Would that be cool to hear? Can you imagine, like, we all want our kids to be successful. We hope they end up being good people and being able to take care of themselves. But Joseph heard, "Your son is going to be the savior of the world." How would you react to that? Your son or daughter is going to cure cancer. Wouldn't you just, you couldn't wait to see what their life is like then. Or your son or daughter, you know, John's a big football fan, going to be in the Hall of Fame someday as a Miami Dolphin. You'd be like, "Come on, get those 30 years in so they can be in the Hall of Fame. I hope I'm around to see it." You know what I mean? That would be great That would be great to hear something like that. But there are other people in the Bible that heard remarkable things, sometimes unbelievable things. We got Moses. Moses, simple shepherd. "I want you to go talk to the Pharaoh, most powerful man in the world, and tell him to release his slaves, my people. You go do that. Everything will be all right." "Noah, your family is like the only nice people on this whole earth. Build an ark, and I'm going to wipe everybody else out. Make sure you take some animals with you. You all right with that?" Then you got Abraham. "You and Sarah waited a long time to have a kid. Go sacrifice him on the mountain and show how much you love me." And then you have Mary, the other part of this story. "Mary, you're going to get pregnant by the Holy Spirit. You all right with that?" Mary knew what awaited her. She knew what was going to await her from her community, maybe from her family, from Joseph, from Joseph's family. But all of these people obeyed and trusted the Lord and did what the Lord's told them to do. And I think, and the Lord obviously knows us all, and he knew that he could trust each one of those people to do his will. He knew that he could trust Moses, Noah, Abraham. You want to keep naming the characters in the Bible. He knew that he could trust them. Mary, Joseph. Would we like to be in that list too? As someone the Lord would trust with to do the right thing, to obey him, to listen to him? There's a lot of things that we read in that Bible that might make our heads scratch. Do we believe them? Do we trust? And do we obey? And now Joseph, this is his finest hour. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph had a lot of good qualities. We don't know much about him, but what is told of him in Matthew, he has a lot of good qualities. He protected Mary when he could have humiliated her. She was pregnant, and he wasn't the dad, but he trusted in the Lord and accepted her into his home. And he also accepted Jesus into his home and raised God's son as his own. When you think of Joseph, and you know, we just had George Herbert Walker Bush die Friday. And you watch the news, you hear nothing about but good stuff about his character. You hear nothing about, all you hear about is his humility, his time he took to listen to people, the time he took to talk to people. Most powerful man in the world was a very humble man. Joseph had a lot of qualities just like President Bush has or had that we should aspire to. He was tough when he could have been weak. You know what the weak thing for him to do in that whole story? Divorce her. That would have been the weak thing to do. But he was tough. And he took her in no matter what the situation was going to be. He was tender when he could have been harsh. Could have humiliated her, but he didn't. He loved her. He was thoughtful when he could have been hasty. He could have signed those divorce papers on the spot. But he thought about it. Because he really loved Mary. And he was probably trying to think of a way that he could make this work. He was trusting when he could have doubted. And he was temperate when he could have let his emotions get the best of him. There was something about Joseph that the Lord saw. And he trusted Joseph to raise his son. That's a pretty big thing that the Lord asked Joseph to do. Raise my son. And in closing, we should ask ourselves, are we like Joseph? Do we do the right thing no matter the situation? Are we tough-minded enough to do that? Are we tender to our loved ones? Why is it our loved ones are the ones that get the worst of us? Have you ever noticed that sometimes? Our loved ones are the ones that see the ugly sides of us too often. They should be the ones seeing our best sides. Are we quick to make decisions and do things that we later regret? Or do we think about it and think things through? Do we trust even when we think we know a better way of doing things? And do we let our emotions rule us, or are we considerate of the needs and feelings of other people? Joseph had a lot of good qualities. He set a great example for us as Christians. He's not mentioned very much, but what we know about him, he was a great guy. He was great enough and kind enough and humble enough and loving enough to raise the Savior of the world. As we begin this Christmas season, and it should last throughout our years, or throughout the whole year, let's pray that we're like Joseph, that we're willing to do the tough things if it's the right thing, if we trust and obey what our Lord has to say to us, and we always welcome Jesus into our hearts and into our homes. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for examples like Joseph throughout the Bible. These were just common people, Joseph, Moses, Abraham, Mary, were just common people. But they set such a great example for us through their trust and their obedience. Please help us as we go through our lives, Lord, to trust in you, to make good decisions. And please help our actions and words reflect our faith in you so that others may come to know you. And may we always welcome you into our hearts and into our homes. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we have time? Found this song about Joseph. Is this going to be invitation, or are we going to still do an invitation? Okay. So just sit back and... This is a pretty cool song by Joseph.